Okay, and here we are again. I should say good evening to RBN listeners. This is the Barden Report for Republic Broadcasting. BJ Barden is my name, and we're here on this today, live on this Saturday, 20th of July, 2019. And in a few minutes' time, we'll have an outstanding gentleman who's on before. David Dubine will be on, and we'll be dealing with his Grand Solar Minimum, which is yet another mega problem superimposed on us, and we're in it right now, and it's a mini ice age. This is not a joke, but it's something massively every living, breathing human being on the earth has to deal with, and we'll be doing the program for 3 hours on that, and we won't take calls today until the third hour, because we have a kind of a Q&A situation set up, and then maybe in the third hour we'll see what the calls are like, etc. But here in the UK, we're waiting, hovering to see what will happen in the Straits of Hormuz, this British oil tanker that's been seized by the Iranians. And I can see what's going to happen. Like the Americans and the Israelis have been provoking Iran now for several years, especially since Trump came to power. And this was bound to happen. But just as an aside, we peasants here in the UK currently pay £1.30 a litre for petrol. It's an imperial gallon here, which is just on £6 a gallon, right? How about that? Now, the American gallon, you know, just giving people an example of the trials and tribulations of daily life, the American gallon is our gallon is 4.5456 litres per gallon. The American gallon is 3.75 litres. So, comparable-wise, if you were paying right now the same price that we're paying for gas, what they call petrol and diesel, in America, you'd be paying $6.09. How about that? And if there's a crisis in the Middle East where these tankers are held up, and I believe America is still only 57% sufficient in its daily use of, that's the accurate figures, of it imports something like 40% of its oil still. It has reserves due to this appalling fracking. But you'd be paying probably double the price of gas in America. But the other horror story is that because of the crisis, the fracking confraternity will be jumping up and down. We in Britain here have nailed fracking down, plus a key company involvement, Quadrilla. I see a message here. It's okay. Etc. And an outstanding guy, Ian Crane, and his associates nailed fracking. I've got a moratorium on fracking, which is an obscene practice to destroy groundwater, and it's not needed. There's more. Ian Crane worked in the oil and gas industry, and I know a lot of people who have. There's enough oil and gas to power us for another 100 years. That's absolutely the case. That's absolutely the case. But just that's a little aside about of all the problems we live under. This Straits of Hormuz is a very, very nervous moment. I'm just reading messages here on this. I don't know what I'm meant to do. I'll might have to just put on Ken might put on the program music a minute while I talk to him. We're trying to hook up with David Dubine, which we will be doing in a few minutes. But I'll talk to Ken. If Ken puts on the bumper music there, we'll have a chat. Okay. Just waiting for that to happen. But other than that, life goes on here, etc., etc. And Google and hold on, we're jumping between systems here. Oh yeah, okay. I don't know what an email. I give him the phone number. Hold on a second. I'll just we're going to do something here. I can keep talking, although I can't talk and type different stuff at the same time. Well, I just get my screen down here, right? Hold on a second. I'm writing a telephone number in here. Which this will all come together in a few minutes. Believe me, we'll have a good program today. And Okay, right. Okay, we're back on air now, I think. But anyway, that's one of the things that's hanging over us. The price of gas and the price of petrol, it could skyrocket. But this situation, to put it in perspective, it was inevitable that the Iranians would do something like that. So they haven't attacked with weapons. They've just brought a super tanker into port, military-wise. But considering the Americans and the Israelis have been trying to provoke Iran for 2 years, this was so predictable. Absolutely, in so many ways. But that was a brand new tanker called the Stena. They're a ferry company in the UK, a shipping company, and just built last year. And it's now in, what would you say, under seizure, having been having been seized by the Iranians. But all of these things, as I say, we wouldn't have a dull day in the current lifetime. And this has been done, I should say, under the situation whereby Britain is now just about to get a new prime minister, one on the way out, Theresa May. And by next Tuesday, we will have a new prime minister, which will be Boris Johnson, it looks like. But apart from that, that is, we're living under those two situations and the Brexit crisis as well. So plenty to be going on within the UK. But anyway, we have an outstanding guest today, and he is the definitive, and actually the definitive expert on, there are a lot of loud noise there, on the Grand Maunder Minimum, which is going to turn our lives upside down as well. But we're going through this very methodically today. I've been to David Devine's presentation at AV10 in Britain. It's outstanding. His major website is Adapt 2030. But anyway, I believe we have David Devine online now. Hello, David.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. Our lives are going to be very different so quickly that I'm very surprised that our mainstream media is not telling us more about these changes that are so swiftly upon us.
Indeed, it's appalling, absolutely unbelievable. Like, the BBC are still pushing global warming, the ice caps are not freezing, they're melting, and it's gross censorship going on. It's not bad. Is that the way you describe it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, could I point out the very obvious right now? It's summertime. Mm-hmm. Ice melts when it's warmer. It's summer. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's such a story. Mm-hmm. Well, ice is melting. Well, yeah, it's summer. That's just intuitive. That is so common sense that mm-hmm. I don't get it how they can even make a news story about ice melting in the summer when ice melts when it's warm and it's the summer. It's always been the cycle. When it's warm, stuff melts. Oh, winter. Ooh, ice froze. It's winter. Do we have stories about that? No, because it's so commonsensical. Mm-hmm. When it gets cold, ice forms. So again, the hypocrisy mm-hmm. in the news and the way they try to bend all these stories. Well, the ice is melting. Well, yeah, Northern Hemisphere, it's summer.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, every day I'm repeating myself. I've said this many weeks. Every time there's a slightly slack news day, and there's not many of those here, the BBC roll out David Shuckman. What's that guy? And he has a script written before he gets down, obviously traveling first class down to the Antarctic or the Arctic, and showing these the big cliffs of ice collapsing. Well, they're obviously, as you say, the ice melt in the summer months. And the one they try to intimidate children is a polar bear standing on a square meter of ice. Well, polar bears, as you know and I know, can swim 50 miles a day and go up and down on ice packs probably 100 times a day. But they talk about slander and lies. It's now gone beyond all it really is. I never thought I'd see the BBC become CNN, but there you are. That's the way. It's shocking. So, is it fair to say there's no major media TV in America or newspaper covering this, is there?
No, there's not. And the thing about the polar bear you just mentioned as well, I mean, in Nunavut this year, they had so many polar bears come in, they canceled school for students, and then they had to go send wildlife officers out there to put those animals down because there was such a danger to the community. And then we saw the same thing in mm-hmm. Russia this year, too. The amount of mm-hmm. polar bears is increasing, the population. And now that they're coming into habitat areas, well, that's a huge danger because they are man-eating mammals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't hear about that on the news, that a town was, you know, if you did, it was a one-day thing. oh, the ice floes got mm-hmm. blocked, so they couldn't go out and hunt on the traditional water, so they had to come into the town to hunt people. Wait a second. If there was that much ice, that mm-hmm. means there should have been had a vast, vast, huge increased amount of area that they could hunt in. But again, you know, they've taught us one thing. Oh, polar bears are in town. There's not enough ice. And then they come back and say, there's too much ice, so now they're in town. So wait a second. What is it? Ice is melting, polar bears can't survive? Or there's too much ice now, polar bears can't survive? You can't have it both ways. Indeed. Come on now. Really? You can't do it both ways.
The other factor is, that's obvious, the amount of scientists who know exactly what's happening. But as I say, most scientists have signed a disclosure agreement on their grant, research grants, so they're muted. But is there any group of scientists in the world who will speak up on this? Very, very few indeed. It's shocking in that regard as well.
Well, could I throw out a website for... Yeah, so PJ, yep. Anybody who out there is looking for this list that you just spoke about, there's a mm-hmm. website called Not a Lot of People Know That. And what they do is they run down the thousands and thousands and thousands of peer-reviewed research papers on the sun driving the climate and natural variability driving the climate and temperature on our planet, as well as they have the mm-hmm. full list. The full list. And the full list right now looks at least 37% of all scientists are not on board with the CO2. Now, that's really very different from what you're hearing in the media. But this list is available for you in full written detail if you'd like to look at it. Not a lot of people know that. That is the website you want to go to. Not a lot of people know that.
People in the UK will recognize that phrase in a minute. That's a famous phrase by Michael Caine about no part of Britain is more than 78 miles from the sea. And he says it in his accent. It has become a trademark phrase of his. And Michael Caine's a very good guy, by the way, very good actor, but highly regarded. So not a lot of people know that. That website, they're good to know that. I reckon, hearing that for the first time, 37% of scientists know the truth about this, but of course they also are being boycotted by the BBC and major publications. Even the scientific publications are now tainted. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because again, it comes back down to the funding. Imagine yourself, okay, let's take a scenario in life here. You're married, mm-hmm. you have kids, you have a house, you have a mortgage, you're stable, you know, you're tenured at a university, very stable life, and it's because you've talked about CO2 the entire time, your life is stable. But the minute those same voices start to talk about, oh, it's the sun warming, this is sun cooling, solar declines, grand solar minimums, the funding dries up, you lose your job at the university. Now, what happens if you have children and a wife in tow and your house mortgage? And then, I mean, people are more boxed into a corner financially than they are about the truth. When you really look at it, words mm-hmm. versus money to keep yourself off the street with your family, you know, that's a hard choice for a lot of people to be put into. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are just mm-hmm. grinding their teeth out there, you know, knowing mm-hmm. that they're lying, knowing that they're telling mistruths just so they can keep the money flow coming in. And I tell you what, it is a gravy train. Take a look at how many trillions, and I didn't say billions, I said trillions with the T, have gone into this climate change since the beginning, let's say even since 1995 or even since the year 2000. More than a trillion U.S. dollars has flowed into the coffers of this green movement. And you take a look at the money and the subsidies and the grants and all these things about, you know, CO2 driving. It's a $1 trillion business, not $1 billion, $1 trillion with a T dollar business. So why would you want to disrupt that? It's a gravy train at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Carbon footprint and what do you call this thing? Exchanging carbon tonnage for what do you call that?
Carbon offset credits in the carbon market.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for the super rich and the multinationals to play around with. But, absolutely. But journalism getting weaker, the censorship of Google and YouTube and that, it is deadly serious. It really, really is on every level. And then these number of scientists who are muted, and as you say, 37%, that's a hell of a lot of people, of scientists, who are probably being boycotted off, certainly they will be off the BBC and American Network. So that's a big... chasm straight away in so many ways, but carry on.
Propaganda. PJ, could I talk about carbon offset market here for just one second?
Sure, please do. Yeah, please. Yeah.
See, now what we're being fed in the media is this CO2 is such a dangerous gas, an all life ending gas, a tumultuous life ending extinction level event. If we put any more CO2 in the atmosphere, mm-hmm. yet they have carbon offset credits, which means you can still put CO2 in your country, and we'll just buy it from another place that's not producing as much. So that's what the offset is. You use 100 tons, another place uses, say, 1 ton, and then there's a 50-ton difference in there because they're not using 50 tons or they're not using their 99 tons. You are, so they're trying to offset it some way like this, some bizarro world where I thought it was such a dangerous gas to go in the atmosphere. They're not talking about reduction of consumption. They're not talking about restricting global trade, the flights, the ships going across, burning dirty bunker fuels. They're not talking about any of this. All it is an offset. Indeed. You can still put the carbon up there. Whoa, no problem. Just, you know, we'll buy it from another place that's not producing the carbon or is putting up much less, and we'll make it even. No. Not at all, my friend. If it's going in the atmosphere, it's going in the atmosphere. So if it's such a danger, we should stop all commerce on the planet. Nothing should go into the atmosphere. Nothing. We need to go back to riding horses. We need to go. You know what? But it makes no sense how they claim all this so dangerous, yet they do the offset and they still keep producing. The factories are still churning away. And if it was really such a danger, I think we would have curtailed manufacturing globally and the ship traffic, the airline traffic, and the 18-wheeler traffic running up and down the countries of our planet. But nothing has been done. So I know it's a farce at that point.
Indeed. Just on that point you made about shipping, Jim Lee, he's been on this program, but one of the things he stated that this shipping using this heavy bunker oil produces more pollution than all the cars on the earth. I found that unbelievable. I think I have that right. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah, bunker fuel or the ship traffic is the dirtiest and most polluting. Like actually from satellite photos, if you look on the Pacific, you can see the ship tracks going back and forth. That's how long they last and how dense they are and how much cloud they form.
Wow.
You know, I interviewed Jim as well. He's a great guy. You know, if you want to talk about geoengineering and atmospheric disturbance and ionosphere heating and bending and the way they're using the atmosphere to bounce radio signal, et cetera, that's the guy you want to talk to. I personally think he's at the very top on the planet of understanding government military programs using geoengineering and nanometals for, again, so many other purposes than we're being fed. So, yeah, Jim,
he's
great guy.
Outstanding.
Geoengineering, that's the number one guy you want to go to.
Oh, yeah, I've had him on twice. It's a long time now, over a year, but he is outstanding. He gave evidence at a Washington committee, etc. But the geoengineering and this cloud chemtrail
seeding
on top of and on top of what's happening on the ground solar minimum, maybe I'm jumping out of sequence here, but the two together, it's just shocking. At the rate of chemtrailing and geoengineering, there's no let up on that, I presume. Is that the way?
Yeah, but again, you know, I want to point out something here. Those trigger words have been set up to dissuade the conversation from taking another word forward. You know, they've set up these different words that we have been programmed into our society, such as aliens, UFO, Bigfoot. Like when you hear those words in a conversation, generally most people just turn off and go, oh, whatever, conspiracy, wacko. Geoengineering is another one of those words.
Okay.
Like in the true term, what we really need to call it is stratospheric aerosol geoengineering or something like
that,
stratospheric aerosol injection. You know, because then it gives you the proper real scientific term for what that is.
Okay, we're just going to a break now, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? a voice of truth in a sea of lies, do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to try to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. And recently I started having a nagging bicep pain and I couldn't lift weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend of mine, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in the veins and arteries that may cause blockages. After 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and I'm back in the gym full strength. Find out more. Go to angioprim.com, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim helps promote cardiovascular health. Talk to a trained consultant, or you can call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-8221. That's 877-882-7221. This statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Coming back in from the first break today, and we're talking to David Dubine, which I can assure you, and his work, if you examine it, you don't have to take my word, is outstanding. I think he's the definitive expert with 5 years of his life, I think, into researching all of this global warming, the grand, the deadly serious one we're going to go into detail today, the grand solar minimum. And if you're there, David, that is worth spending time on this a little bit. Trigger words. I was writing down five of them here: CO2, climate change, carbon footprint, carbon taxes, carbon credits, etc. Do you want to talk about those for a while?
Yeah, I would. I want to go back to the geoengineering trigger words here first, because before the break we were talking about stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, and a lot of times what they've done is they've lumped it in to try to get you to stop that conversation by a very easy trigger word called chemtrails. Now, this one, it's been programmed as such. So when talking to people, when you hear those words come through, the scientific definition is stratospheric aerosol geoengineering. So to use that in the conversation, it comes across a different context. But I was saying before the break that I think it's more cosmic radiation management, along with, the military applications of the nanometals in the atmosphere. Because if you think about it, Earth's magnetic field is decreasing and our magnetic poles are wandering, something that we haven't seen in such a long time. And they do believe that we're in the process of some sort of slow motion train wreck pole shift here going on, that the poles are going to meet over Indonesia somewhere. And it's ongoing, and these poles seem to be speeding up year after year, and you'll see magnetic anomalies all over the planet. Now, this could explain a lot of the jet stream mix-ups, but here's the wild card. We got the grand solar minimum coming in right on top of this. So in terms of science, they haven't seen anything like this ever recorded in all of human history, at least in the last 12,000 years. We are into an area, a set of circumstances that has never been quantified or experienced before. So the coupling of it's a combination of the decreasing magnetic field on our planet, the decreasing solar activity. So with the nanometals up there, is that a way for the powers that be to try to nullify the galactic cosmic rays coming in or recharge the shields on our planet? Literally, when I say that, shields down, Scotty, like recharge them by putting up all these nanometals. Because you got to think about the metals. And when you think about magnets and you think about electromagnetism, and you start to see all these things kind of dovetailing together. Is it really geoengineering, or is it geoengineering disguised because the true purpose would be galactic cosmic radiation management? Because if you're going to sell an idea to the populace, now the geoengineering is great because, you know, you can get a community organization together, you can try to get the Air Force or whatever private organizations to stop spraying in the skies. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But when you come down to it that, hey, you know, we need to recharge our magnetosphere, and if we stop putting the metals up there, we're going to get run away. You're going to have a once in a 10,000 year flood every single storm. I'm sorry, but we need to recharge the magnetosphere, cosmic radiation management. We're going to have cell damage and DNA damage if we get too many galactic cosmic rays pouring in through our atmosphere striking the Earth's surface. Which one of those is easier to sell to the public? Because I really think people mm-hmm. would quit working if you were to talk about the latter. That's my own opinion, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Cosmic radiation management, another layer of the onion.
Yeah. Hold on to that phrase there. Say, recharging the magnetic sphere. The what's that phrase?
Magnetosphere.
Is that a lie? That does not need to be done, or is that which of three is it? It's true. It's a lie, or it's a total scam. It does not need to be done. It doesn't need to happen. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which of those three?
Yeah. Everybody can check their own box because there's no definitive answer on that. But the way I see the progression of the weakening sun, we know for sure Swarm had actually stopped. This is European Space Agency's satellites to measure the magnetic field on the planet. They stopped giving out information in 2016 because it was changing so quickly. And you didn't understand. And it's actually sped up since that time. So I believe there's something going on with the magnetic field over the Earth, or at least the magnetosphere that they're trying to. Because look how many, you know, planes are up there. Look how many metals are being dispersed into our atmosphere. I mean, there's got to be at least a saturation point. Okay, we have enough up there. We can bend the weather with ionospheric heaters and whatnot. Fine. Mm-hmm. But now we're at the point of oversaturation. Now, what's the reason for that? Mm-hmm. You know, if we go into the magnetic end of it and the electromagnetism end of it, it makes sense why you more metal better, bigger magnet better. You know, something like this in a very rudimentary, simplistic way to explain.
How's that going to affect the very basic, which I don't know, I'm asking the question because I don't know, the level of oxygen on the world? You come to the point where we won't be able to breathe, I suppose. Is that a risk?
I hope not. We need to plant more trees. You know, I love these CO2 mitigation things. You know, they want to create fake trees that cost like $30,000 each to try to pull out like a couple kilograms of CO2 out of the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just plant billions of live trees? You know, all these super simple solutions, but there's no money in that. Like planting 5 billion new trees does not make a company money. But setting out 1,000 of something that costs $20,000 each to pull back like two tons of CO2 after a day, that makes companies money.
I know the official forestry departments of Britain and Ireland are totally deficient and incompetent at planting trees. But sorry, I hear the music again. Okay, looks like we're going to the normal breaks today, aren't we?
Right? Simplest solution first. Plant trees. Yeah. Help our planet. Soak up CO2. Use a tree.
We'll come back
hug
to that
a tree.
We'll stay on this for a while. We're going to a break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back in from the bottom of the hour break, and we're talking to David Devine from I think I'm correct, quoting correctly, Adapt 2030. That's his major handle on YouTube, and you get an education about what this Maunder minimum and this catastrophic climate disruption is all about. But we were talking there about afforestation just briefly. Germany after the war in 1948 was 27% afforested. It's now something like 33%. The UK is 8%. And both in Ireland and in Britain, the Department of Forestry is a useless organization. And that's a ministry that gets kicked around like a football. So I don't know what it's like in the United States, but there you are. That's just a few facts on the side.
Yeah, it seems that the simplest of the solution, you know, they keep trying to sell us all these billion-dollar solutions to CO2 mitigation. Let's just start with plants. And you know what? The trees that are planted should also be fruit trees, things that bear fruit, things that bear food for free, for us, for the society. But you'll notice also, you know, reforestation that occurs in a city, you know, they try to say, well, there's lawsuit possibilities if somebody slips on a piece of fruit on the sidewalk on a tree that's owned by the city that falls, or it could hit somebody on the head. Okay, we don't have a big coconut tree in the middle of the city that's going to smash a windshield. But I just don't understand, when they reforest all these areas or when they plant trees in a cityscape, what about the small bushes that are only, you know, waist or chest high? Do you really think that that's going to have a lawsuit possibility? But what if those were blueberry bushes, raspberry bushes, any kind of bushes that produce fruit that we could reforest a city of just fruit bearing? Everything that's planted in the ground should have fruit bearing possibility, food bearing possibilities, and also we should reforest as much as we can for the CO2 mitigation. And you talked about oxygen. Well, if we need more oxygen in our atmosphere, which is a good thing, then we should just plant trees. But they don't want to give us free food. And I hate to say they, because how do you really define the they? And then by saying they, you're almost giving them power, which I don't condone or consent to myself. So I'm going to say it's up to us. It's up to yourself to plant your own food and your own trees around your own yard. But plant as many trees as you can and make sure they all produce food.
Indeed, and the declining in the bee population, everybody should have hanging baskets of flowers, I presume, and that kind of thing to help that on. But again, they give token gestures towards it. But and the other thing in Britain, the massive cobbling over of gardens to park their big 4x4s on. That has had a massive effect on hedgehogs and wildlife. Suburban Britain, driveways and lawns are gone. They're cobbled over with modern paving to facilitate their 4x4s. Isn't that a shocking indictment of this generation? But that's more of it, etc.
It is, you know, because I lived out in Hawaii for several years, and they had a song out there that kind of summed up the same situation. It was called "Tear Down a Piece of Paradise and Put Up a Parking Lot." So, you know, you go to idyllic beach, coconut trees, you know, coastal dune vegetation, and then they would rip that all down so you could put a parking lot there so you could go into park to go to the beach that you used to go to that was beautiful, mm-hmm. and that's now just sand, you know, now just go. Yeah, that was tear down a piece of paradise, put up a parking lot. But that seems like the state of our world at the moment. Rip everything down natural, replace it with something that has to make money. And then go from there. Nothing natural anymore. Oh. We're being in it. We're living on a terraformed planet, almost, in my opinion.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely, and boorish and ignorant planning situations, etc. But no, this just to get into this subject. And you're saying what's the scientists betraying us? The scientific publications betraying us. The media and TV and government, as I say, to quote the bleeding obvious, we are surrounded. And by the actual problems themselves, as I say, it's worse than an impending war, actually, isn't it? In traditional warfare, we are, and technocracy as well, we are really surrounded. Just to put out a template of how to fight this, people would have to fight on multiple levels. And in fairness, when they're informed about this, I think they'll suffer whatever Tavares refers to as truth trauma. Truth trauma is a real part of this. We explain this to people. You find that as well?
I do, and a lot of times the information needs to be more drip-fed than you know, a full-on bucket to the face, because it is overwhelming to realize there's so much scientific data out there that proves that the sun drives the climate, that these cycles that we go through, where our solar system exists in the spiral arm of our galaxy, and that whole 220 million year cycle as we transit around the galaxy once, above and below the ecliptic, how the planets themselves are in the barycenter of the sun. And when I say the barycenter, I mean, look at the sun and you get that dot in the exact middle of the sun. I mean, truly, when we transit in our orbits around the sun, we don't stay exactly in that center. We come above it or below it. We're outside the sun a little bit. We're not exactly as the models predict in the books when they show to children that everything's a perfect circle around the sun. It's just not that way. Those also have cycles that are repeatable. And there's so many cycles in terms of the sun's electrical activity, or the power coming from the sun electrically connecting to our Earth, and how our Earth changes in cycles. We got the Atlantic cycles, the water temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean on 60-year cycles that in then turn that cooler or warmer water being pulsed under the Arctic, that revolves in 9-year cycles. Now, those are the real close-in cycles. You know, when I talk anything about 400 years or closer. But then when we go out, we have these much, 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 much larger cycles all the way up to ice ages and, you know, spinning around our galaxy. And then our galaxy is moving with other galaxies, too. And those have been mapped out by the ancients, which I don't know how they knew all that. You know, think about some of our ancient societies. They knew more than 220 million year cycles in the way our galaxy transited around with other galaxies in the expansion of the third dimensional space here on the what we consider the universe. So there's so much peer-reviewed research out there, and I can't believe they keep just focusing on CO2. It's almost like a purposeful ploy to keep you away from the true information, because the amount of information out there showing that the sun truly drives our climate is overwhelming in the peer-reviewed research literature. Yeah. Overwhelming. Yet they only focus, and I just, but they have the stage. The media has the stage to, so does the education system for the young minds.
I just put this out there as well. It'd be a brave university, because they're all extreme left-wing communist mentality, and they'd put up a serious degree course for at least 3 years to put what you're doing all together, all the information you're assembling together, into an educational degree in what is going on. And it's simply, how many modern minimum cycles you reckon there have been since the beginning? Well, since the year one in this cycle, it's 3 or 4 or 5?
Five.
On the research, five, really? Well, I see.
Yeah, but the most intense one would have been the late antique Little Ice Age, circa 535 AD. Another really intense one was around 1200 AD, and then the next one that we're most familiar with, especially over in the UK, you all experienced freezing on the Thames, was the Maunder Minimum, 1640-ish. So you get these major ones okay, so it goes one major, a small one, and a small one would have been the Dalton Minimum in the early 1800s. Well, we're back to a very large 2 to 3 degree Celsius forecast temperature drop. Now, for us, me and you, we can throw another log on the fire. We can turn up our thermostat another degree or two. For us as a human species and actual livability, not going to affect us too much. But those plants means shorter growing seasons, cooler springs, wetter springs. And then look for the – I'm calling it right now. This is another mark to look for, and I'm stating on the record right here. Look for this fall, this harvest season. It's going to come in blazing cold. Below normal temperatures, record cold temperatures, early blizzards, early snowstorms, and we're going to lose crops in the fields because the cold is going to onset so fast this winter. And it's going to shock you how fast. Look at all the snowfalls in Europe. Look at the snowfalls across Canada happening today. What is it, like July 20th, and they're still getting almost a foot of snow in Canada? All the way to British Columbia, through Alberta, Rocky Mountains are getting snow today. And it's unbelievable. Shocking. And then the snow's in Poland, the snow's in Slovakia. I mean, sheesh. Look at all the things happening across our planet in the Northern Hemisphere. And then all the cold records broken in Australia this week. And Russia. Russia's got all these new cold records this week. It's crazy how much cold and snow is all across the planet during summer in the north and the record cold in the south happening now, Southern Hemisphere.
Well, your own experience over there when you were in Denver recently, on May run, about May 20th or whatever, stuck on the runway in an aircraft in the worst snowstorm in years in the 20th of May. Wow. That was something else, wasn't it?
It was. It was all-time record snows there, and the deepest amount of accumulation at that point. And it smashed records in Denver. So the air crews had put away – there was no de-icing equipment out because they put everything away for summer because June was just a week away, and they were counting on no more snow. If it was, it would have been like flurries or maybe a dusting at best. But to get several inches on the runway of that heavy, wet, icy snow – all the de-icing equipment had been put away. So, you got 11 aircraft waiting out on the tarmac to get de-iced, and there was 3 de-ice trucks. That's it. And they kept running out of fluid. We spent hours. It spent almost 3 hours sitting out there waiting to de-ice. So, that was an interesting one. Because, a lot of people left the Denver conference at LeakCon where I spoke, and then getting stuck on a runway. I just heard this guy talking about a grand solar minimum, super crazy cold and unusual out-of-season weather patterns, and then here I am a week before June stuck in an all-time record snowstorm where they don't have any de-ice equipment in Denver. Gee, what kind of sign would that have been for people looking for a sign coming out of that conference? Here you go.
Absolutely stunning, absolutely. But you were saying on there recently, too, the crop losses were as high as 31 million acres not planted in the U.S. this year. You reckon it's as high as that, yeah?
The research I have is 34 million. It's actually 3 million acres higher.
Wow. That I worked in the food and tobacco trade, not in growing. Well, I worked selling organic fertilizer to growers as well, briefly, for a number of years. But I remember in Unilever, if there was a very bad harvest, which were never many in the 80s, 90s, 70s, and 80s, the hit in on that was, say, the summer crop and autumn harvesting would hit in around Christmas. So as regards this year, it's going to be a bleak Christmas and a lot of panic and a lot of bad news that they can't deny is happening, that there will be a big jump in food prices, certainly in America, around about Christmas.
I would totally agree. And the USDA has dropped the ball. What they were using for the crop reporting, May 28th was the most recent one in terms of a full accounting of the planting going on in the U.S. They said that the U.S. corn production would increase 2%. But put this into context, PJ, just for a second here. It's the lowest planting they've had since 1938. But the USDA said we were going to increase corn production by 2% for the U.S. for this year. So where's the disconnect? And where are the directors of these agencies that have, if you would have just even followed through social media, you would have seen No Plant 19. So those of you who are looking for your own images of this event, you go into Twitter, hashtag No plant, 19. And you will see the amount of non-planting acres, flooded fields, unbelievable destruction. And when you put it there at the lowest planting since 1938, for the USDA to come out and say 2% increase, and then people put people went opposite the market in the futures arena. They made billions those days on the opposite call. So somebody was insider trading, and that needs to be investigated by the CFTC. And I can't believe that it went by somebody's desk without being that they actually signed off on that. And then their excuse was, oh, no, well, it was the surveys that they said the planters and the farmers intended to plant. So I'm like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. You got a month and a half old survey of farmers that intended to plant, but the real situation on the ground is look around social media, flooding thousands and thousands of photos across 15 states where they're not planting because there's too much water, and they still put that out because the survey said they intended to plant. Well, there's a huge, like I said, there's a huge disconnect that we're living in a la-la world, and I think, my personal opinion, that they're trying to stave off the panic for what you talk about with these crop rise prices coming up at the end of the year here. Your food price is going to go doubling, 70% up. Mm-hmm. Japan, 70% up in vegetable prices just last week. That's crazy jumps in the price of food. Wow. 45% increase in China. You know, you see it everywhere now. And they're, you know, more than 50%. I'm going to say doubling by the end of the year.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, no, that's the cause and effect very well explained. And a guy like you can do is put short, sharp bulletins together, and like I would distribute them. There's a few reasonable journalists in the Daily Mail who are not afraid to take on anything, although it's been a change of editorship there. And I'll just give you a quick thing. I'm now staying on this subject, but the Which magazine, which is a very powerful consumer magazine, costs £150 a year to get the magazine 12 months of the year. And they're protecting consumers. They're very good at testing consumer products. They've done a major supplement on 5G, and not one referral or reference to smart meters damage or the dangers of 5G. So I'm going after them, and I'm getting Mark Steele to approve the article, and I'll go after them head to head. And I have numerous ways of getting them, attack them from other media as well. But that's an absolute disgrace. I'm absolutely shocked by that. To discuss 5G. And not to discuss the risk is just unbelievable. But there you are. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, and I'll throw a bullet point there for your story. The 5G, I do believe with that carrier frequency, they're going to use crowd control. They're going to use other frequencies for crowd control on top of that carrier wave. Because, you know, as I look toward the future in 2021, if the food prices are going to be 50% or doubling this year, and then next year's harvests are going to be worse than this year's harvests, because I don't think they're going to get the fields refurbished. And I think the same patterns are locking in place. So we're going to get floods next year for the planting season. So from this year forward, each successive year, I think the agricultural production on our planet is going to diminish. Well, at some point, there's going to be food riots. And there won't be enough police or military to control all of the sparks of civil unrest across a country or a continent. So I think they're going to have to use a different means to do it. And I really believe that 5G is somehow going to be involved in this crowd control with frequency weapons, if you will, because the rollout on these timelines – well, they have all these timelines across Europe and the United States that this stuff has to be completely, the entire grid needs to be completely rolled out by, 2023? Now, why is that? Because the depths of the grand solar minimum I have starting at 2023 and 2024, along with so many others. So why is it? Why are these timelines overlapping? My timeline, as well as others that do the same research, 2023 is when we get into, full-on, absolute tripling of food prices, and the economy starts to contract and get and then at the same time they want all these 5G rolled out, maybe frequency control grid inside there. It's a little too coincidental on the timelines overlapping.
That's spot on. That alone will make a startling article, what you put out there right now, that these things converging. And as I say, Patrick Wood and the guys who are technocracy, nobody owns the subject, but technocracy looming at us as well. And of course, it'll be presented as the climate global warming scenario, etc. But anyway, we're going to this third break of the day, and we should be back in a few minutes.
AncientLifeOil.com. For your CBD needs, just remember, AncientLifeOil.com. What does it do for the body, you ask? I can't say, do the people in the suits that run the industry. Big Pharma's all over CBD because of its well, you know what I mean. Research the benefits of CBD on Google and come back to AncientLifeOil.com and purchase your CBD today. Non-GMO and all organic. You don't want to be using a petroleum product. You want to be using the cleanest CBD product on the market. AncientLifeOil.com. We even have CBD for your pet. Help your pet's discomfort. Help your discomfort. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Newly reduced prices to pass off the savings to the most important person, you. AncientLifeOil.com. And one more thing. We have topicals, too. So if you have joint pain and some different issues that are going on in your body, you might want to use a topical. Think about it. AncientLifeOil.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Okay, coming back in the short section for the top of the hour, but no, that is outstanding, David. David Devine, we're talking to here. You know, what's the best? I know your name is your name, but what's the best handle to name you by? Adapt 2030, is that fair?
It is. The Adapt 2030 channel on YouTube. I try to put up videos 5 days a week about the changes we're seeing on our planet, but I also like to revolve in there ancient history. And I just talked about the Mitanni Empire in what is now Syria and Iraq. But then I also delved into a 3,400 to 3,500-year rain cycle on top of that. So when we're looking at that part, at least of the Middle East, it looks like it's going to get a little drier. But places in North Africa are going to become much wetter. Places in southern Iran and over toward Afghanistan and Pakistan are going to get much, much wetter as well. So I try to delve into the more ancient rain cycles, you know, 2,000, 4,000, 6,000-year mid-Holocene rain cycles, to really get a gauge on where we're going, because this is not a 400-year cycle, PJ. It's not. We're going something multi-thousand years into the past on this repeating cycle.
Wow.
And I think that's kind of the way that governments would want to control, because if you tell people, all right, your lives are going to change greatly because we're going to repeat a 3,500-year rain cycle right now, so everything that you know is going to get, well, unknown as we move through these changes. That's hard to sell people to have them continue to invest in their retirement savings and that kind of – people just will think differently, and I think the money would dry up into the traditional finance system. But Adapt 2030 on the YouTube channel. I run the podcast Mini Ice Age Conversations, and I also just came out with my new book, Climate Revolution, talking about the same changes, how to thrive, prepare, and adapt in this new grand solar minimum. You can find that if you do any kind of search engine, Climate Revolution, the book, David Dubine, Adapt 2030. Sure. It's available on PayHip. Now, we decided to self-publish this because Amazon has been censoring so heavily any of these types of publications that are talking about non-CO2 changes for our Earth's climate system. If we're talking about the sun, Amazon's going to really pull back your book.
Oh, yeah.
Self-publishing. If you want to support the work, please buy the book. This is how we're supporting ourselves, is self-publishing, to go around the censors and also bring in so we can get a few new things up onto the platform at the moment. I have some people helping me. That's why I said we.
In a few minutes, after the top of the hour, I want to talk to you about that in detail. Another thing later, further down the list, the fight, this is going to be this, most people are not aware, the fight to control North Africa. The Chinese are in there buying up land and building roads for different African countries. And it's the European Union, Macron, Rothschild's representative, and it's going to be largely Europe versus the Chinese to control North Africa for new food production. That is something that I've only heard through the alternative media and people like yourself, etc. That's a subject on its own, would you say? It's so vast.
It is, and it goes right into the immigration, because you have all those people there who would want to defend their land from occupation from the European Unified Defense Force or from the Chinese, but magically they're getting free boats to go to other countries and get out of that land. So imagine, instead of having to fight 6 million resistance-strong army of men down there, guess where all those resistance men are now? They're up in different countries outside of their new grow zones. Depopulate the grow zone before you take it over. Free immigration.
Indeed.
It makes sense now.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll go to this top of the hour break, and then we'll have a longer run down the other side. Okay, back in a few minutes.
Excellent.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.